Welcome to the Fisher of Men broadcast with Brother Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
I was burdened down with sin. No happiness was found within. I never knew the meaning of joy down in my soul. When at last I finally knelt, contentment filled my soul like I never felt. Heaven came down, there was glory all around when He saved my soul.
I remember the day
when the Lord saved me.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
Glory filled my soul.
For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me.
Now a life of peacefulness deep within my heart abides. Since the day that Jesus took my sins away, and to heaven I will go to spend the endless ages while they ever roll, praising His name for the glorious day that He saved my soul.
I remember the day
when the Lord saved me.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
Glory filled my soul.
For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me.
And I remember the day
when the Lord saved me.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
Glory filled my soul.
For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me.
Hello again, this is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. Thankful to be able to come back this way once again and have what we consider another God-given opportunity that might be able to bring, touch on some points from the Word of God. Thank you for your listening. Thank you for your attention. We want to just try to tell you that we appreciate how much, just so much, that you taking the time to consider this, and whether we're coming to you, perhaps in your home, or if you're out, perhaps driving, or maybe you've tuned in later on and have went back and found the program on the website where that we provide this and keep these messages archived. If you're listening to it there, worse whatsoever the state may be, we truly appreciate the opportunity to share a portion of God's Word with you. Though this may be recorded, and perhaps you may be listening to this sometime on down in the future, from when this is actually being recorded, we want to tell you that the Word of God is timeless, that God, who is eternal, that His message has not changed any, so this message won't go out of date. It'll be up to date and in time and timely. And if we indeed are bringing the truth, and you'll believe that we truly are, as you study the Scriptures, we believe the Scriptures absolutely verify it, and the Holy Spirit accompanying it absolutely helps us know that this is the truth. We know then, no matter when that the message is heard, that it's up to date. So thank you for tuning in, and thank you for listening. I ask you to prayerfully consider what it is that's being brought, not because we're the one who that brings it, but because what's being brought is out of the Word of God, and that's what we all need to consider. The Scriptures tell us that man shall not live by bread alone, or that is by food, regular food, man shall not live by that alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God shall man live. And what God's getting at there is eternal life, and that there is more to us than what meets the eye, that there is a soul down within us. And we are eternity-bound creatures as mankind, and that eternity has something to hold, something that we will experience, and we need to be prepared for it. And God's Word is that the Scripture tells us and places us in the position, every individual, that we're to search the Scriptures, that we are to read and consider the Scriptures, because individually, God is going to interact with us individually. And He sets the Word before us individually so that we can consider it, so that we can study it for ourselves. So every man, that's every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, that they shall live not by bread alone, but by the words that proceed from God, by every word of God. So thank you for considering this, and whensoever it is that you consider it, we appreciate it, and pray that God would bless you as you do consider it, and help us all to understand His word better. We do want to go to the Lord in prayer. Before we pray, we might make mention that where that these broadcasts are found, where that they're archived at, is on a website. And that website, many of you have heard of this before. We'll repeat it again, perhaps for new listeners. But the website where these messages can be found is called FisherOfMenBaptistic.com. It's FisherOfMenBaptistic.com. That's all one word. That's Baptist with the IC on the end, so Baptistic.com. The way that you can email me, get a hold of me by email, is provided there as well. Feel free to use that if you ever feel the need to contact me. I've had people contact me before. Appreciate the feedback that we've received. And I've interacted with and exchanged email with listeners before. Appreciate the opportunity to do so. And just been a blessing to get to share thoughts and communicate back and forth. And that's also there right on the front of that website. There are many materials there, audio and video and much that can be read. So hope that if you have the opportunity, the Lord would bless you as you read it. And feel free to share. Feel free to share that with anybody. It's absolutely free. And we're glad to be able to make it so. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. And then after we pray, we'll try to take up some thoughts from the Word of God. If it's where you can, then join with me. Holy and kind Heavenly Father, we're thankful for another opportunity, Lord, to arise to a day that we know that You have kept and preserved for us and allowed us to enter into it. We thank You, Lord, for health and for means. Thank You, Lord, for soul salvation, for the knowledge of it. Thank You, Lord, for leadership for the children of God and for Your merciful watch, care, and protection over us, that as we push along life's journey, that we might do so in the blessings of God and with the blessings of God. And even when we come short, the great blessings of calling our attention to our shortcomings, that we might repent and be careful to follow after Christ and His leadership. Oh God, we pray today that You would see our needs, knowing that You see and know everything. And Father, we pray that You'd extend Your hand of grace unto us. Help us all, Lord, that we might have our understanding open to the Word of God. And bless, Lord, as this message might go forth, that those who hear, any of us who might have thoughts which are not correct on this subject, that, Father, You'd clarify our thoughts on it. Any who are standing on a false hope today, we pray, God, that the truth might open their understanding, that they look to You to find not the false hope, but the absolute truth in Christ Jesus, and have their hope grounded in eternal things that come from God. We pray, Father, You'd remember those who are not well. There's many sad and needy circumstances. Pray, Father, for those who've given up their precious loved ones. We pray for their comfort in their time of loss. Help those around, those who have given up loved ones. Help them to be blessed with kindness and have time to share and to check on and to comfort. We pray, God, that You would remember the church, knowing, Father, that her care is ever before You. Help us, Lord, to know how to labor for You therein. Deliver us, Father, from the things that would distract and the things that might cause stumbling blocks. Help us, Father, rather, to be careful followers of Christ. Thank You for Your gentle kindness, so many ways that You extend it to us. Take now, use, bless, forgiving us again our sins and our shortcomings, many things we know we fail to ask, but fail not to grant. For we seek all these favors and blessings in Jesus' name, for his name's sake we do pray. Amen. We want to take up some thoughts today out of 1 Peter. We'll turn to 1 Peter. There are two of the books that's under the name of Peter. Two writings that God gave to us by this man of God. We'd like to turn to the third chapter of the first book of Peter. The first book of Peter has a few more, a little bit longer than the second one. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, we want to read a few verses of Scripture. We'll start with the 20th verse. And we notice in the 20th verse, speaking about Noah and the ark, about the occasion when that the man Noah was instructed to build the ark, we find this reference and referred to in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 20, then we find it written, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure, whereunto even baptism, doth also now save us, not to putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. This is our scripture reading. We've read the 20th through the 22nd verse of this third chapter of Peter, and we want to take up the thought here relating to the ark of salvation. The reason we come up with this thought is when you see the scriptures here, the scriptures tell us that eight souls were saved by water. And when we think about the eight souls being saved by water, I noticed that there would have been no salvation if there hadn't been an ark. They wouldn't have been delivered without there being an ark. So I'd like to clarify that what we're talking about here is the ark of salvation, not the water of salvation. We're talking about the ark of salvation. So in these scriptures, I like to first point out that there's been quite a bit of confusion over the work of baptism and the effect of baptism as far as bringing men, women, boys, and girls into what's called saving grace. That is the grace that brings about soul salvation, the salvation of the soul. There's been quite a bit of confusion over that, and the confusion has been spread. And as the confusion spreads, this verse or this section of the Word of God has been a portion of God's Word that has been used to justify the confusion. I want to say first off that I don't think anybody is intentionally confused about anything. I think there are very sincere people who have these mixed up thoughts on this. But good intentions aside, God's not going to accept us on good intentions. God is going to stand on the absolute truth. He cannot lie. In the scriptures, God tells us not only will he not lie, but he cannot lie. And to ensure that the absolute truth has been set forth, he sent his own son into this world not only to die up on the cross for our sins, but he was also, Christ came preaching his own gospel. He came and delivered the word personally to his church. And so the truth, that the church is even called the pillar and ground of the truth. So God has firmly established the truth in the world. And he stands by what he said. And though others may misunderstand and mistell, God's only going to stand by the truth. And so when the truth goes out, that's another reason. When did you hear the truth? And as the truth goes out, the Holy Spirit accompanies that truth into your heart. And so that you know that it is the absolute truth, and you can distinguish between the Spirit of God and the other spirit. The Scripture tells us to discern the spirits, because not every spirit's from God. Because you can discern the Spirit of God because the fruits that accompany it. And that's a whole other sermon for another time. The Lord leads us that direction in the future. We may try to touch on that. But for this message, we're talking about the ark of salvation. So reading these scriptures, we notice that God waited while that Noah built the ark. When you read back in the book of Genesis about Noah building the ark, you'll find that Noah took 120 years to build that ark. The ark is described for us over in Genesis in chapter 6. And this ark was three stories high. You think about the amount of time that it would take to build a vessel this size. Historians and researchers have looked deeply into this, and the dimensions are available. It's not our purpose, and for the sake of time, we won't get into the dimensions, but this was a large vessel. It was a large three-story craft, and Noah and his three sons, according to history, Noah and his three sons built it by hand. They cut the wood, they carved the wood, they framed it, they put it all together. God gave them the design and they built it. They cut the wood, they formed it, they shaped it, and they assembled this massive vessel. And it took them 120 years to do it. So in this, we learn, when we think about Noah, the first question we think about here is, now this ark, it tells us that eight souls were saved by water. That's where a lot of the confusion comes by. In these verses, the scripture plainly tells us here, and I'll turn back and read it. I had flipped over to Genesis 6. There's a verse we want to read there. But it says in these verses that God waited while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, the ark, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, in the ark, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Now, the eight souls are described, we're told who they are in the book of Genesis. It's Noah, his wife. Noah had three sons and their wives. So that's eight people. Eight people were in the ark, and they were saved. Now, when we think about they being saved by water, that there's the parallel to this, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is, that in the resurrection, we see a like picture of deliverance. We see a picture there of God's great provision for us in Christ being resurrected from the dead. In our baptism, we notice that these scriptures tell us, it says that this is not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. So in the baptism, there's a figure here. When you look at the ark, you see something happen. You see people going into the ark and being saved. And we see in baptism this that's being described, and the hinge here is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But these people who go into this baptism that's told here, it's not to put away the filth of the flesh or not to put away sin. It's the answer of a good conscience. That is, the conscience is already been made good because it's the answer of a good conscience. It is not how we develop a good conscience. It is a conscience has been made good, and it's the answer of that. So we want to think about this, about how that these people entered into the ark. In other words, what was their relationship with God? Now, my stand from the Bible is that, and this would be another topic for another occasion, but that people were already being saved back all the way in the days of Noah, the same way that we're saved today. Salvation's never changed. God does not change. God has set salvation plainly before us, and in the scriptures, we find example and example and example of how that God dealt with people back in the Old Testament, and how that they've given their testimonies that they were saved people in the New Testament. Those people are referred to as examples of how that we too should look to God. Abraham is a perfect example of that, of how that one was saved, not by works, but by faith, and that he believed God, and it was in righteousness was given unto him because he believed God. And that's the same thing we're called on to do today. When Paul was approached in the Philippian jail, and this is Acts 16, but the Philippian jailer came to Paul and said, "Men and brethren, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Barnabas at that time said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in all of thy house." So his answer was, believe. And that's the same thing that we find out about Abraham all the way back in the Old Testament, who believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. So we're looking at Noah here and how Noah went into the ark, because the scripture says he was saved by water, which is a type of Christ in baptism, which is an answer of a good conscience. So let's take a look at this back in Genesis in chapter 6. So Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 8. The scripture tells us, I'm going to get verse 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man. Now this is God's judgment. What we're reading here in verse 7 is God's judgment on the world. God looked at the world, he saw the condition of the world, and God made a judgment. My radio friend, this may sound harsh to you when I read this to you, but what's even going to be worse is this, is that God's already looked out into the future and said this world is going to be destroyed again. Now, people flip this off immediately when they hear that, but you need to hear the rest of the story. That God has judged, that God has already determined this. And what we then are called upon to do is to hear God, to listen, because of the nature of this world. And we can look about it and see. So I'm trying to not pull off all these other things and head off on other topics. I'm trying to stick to my subject here. So in order to do that, I'm jumping back here to Genesis chapter 6 to see God's judgment in the days of Noah. So here's what God said. I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Looking at the previous scriptures in verse 5, God had already said that every imagination of the thoughts of man, of his heart, of the heart of man, was only evil continually. Mankind at that time, the world was full of violence. Mankind had filled the earth with violence, and their intentions of their heart and their thoughts of their heart were evil continually. God saw this and said, it must come to an end. God also says, out in the future, our future. And I'm afraid, radio friend, it's not far out in our future. That, again, judgment will be passed on this world. And I mean an earth-ending judgment. Because, again, as in the days of Noah, that the evil that we see in the world, even evil that we have seen lately, just you don't have to watch the news, it don't seem like, for 10 minutes to see that. But we find in the spite and face of all of this, God said that he's going to destroy it, and he says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God said that Noah, he announced, this man, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, this is not just permissive grace. We're talking about an intentional granting of grace. The principle of receiving grace that the Scripture teaches us, that the Scripture teaches us in the Bible, is by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians 2 and 8. By grace are you saved through faith. That's a principle. Grace is received through faith. Abraham is given to us. I quoted that earlier from Romans chapter 4. And in Romans chapter 4, we're having scriptures from Genesis explained to us about Abraham, who is called the father of us all. And that is the father of faith. Even though you and I may not have a direct lineage physically back to Abraham, but those of us who have been born of the Spirit, there's a spiritual kinship we have to Abraham because he was born again. He's called the father of us all in the spiritual sense. Again, pointing out the obvious that Abraham was already a child of God. That kinship, the father of us all. So when we look at this with Abraham, Abraham was just like that principle that we pointed out from Ephesians, by grace ye saved through faith. It's saying of Abraham in Romans chapter 4, but to him that worketh not, but to him that believeth on the ungodly, but believeth on him who justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So him that believeth on him who justifieth the ungodly, he's talking about Abraham there in Romans chapter 4, and it's the same principle, not of works, lest any man should boast. So Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and then we keep reading, and God says, make thee an ark of gopher wood, and he gives the dimensions of it. So I want you to see What was Noah's condition? Noah was a man who already found grace before God even gave him the work of building the ark. So to say that the ark saved Noah's soul in that is his inner man, is absolutely misinterpreting the scriptures whatsoever. And so with that misinterpretation, then to go farther and to say now baptism saves people's souls, that is to extend the misinterpretation and to totally misrepresent God. We go farther, and I'd like to give you another example to help us see that Noah indeed was already a child of God. So speaking of this long period of time that Noah was building this ark, we notice in 2 Peter chapter 2, saying this, that in verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 2, speaking of God, who he's referring to God's judgment of how that he had cast down angels. He's already cast down angels in the history of the world, history of creation. And it says, and he spared not the old world. This is the world that was destroyed by water. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So what is this saying about Noah? Again, this is more evidence that Noah was already a child of God before he entered the ark. So he was, how do we know that? It says he saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. What did Noah do? Noah built that ark for 120 years, and no, you just picture this. As he's building this huge vessel, taking all this period of time, people came and inquired, what is going on? This had to be something that was spread abroad. What's happening? Why are you doing this? And Noah was speaking of the ungodliness, of the danger that mankind had entered into because of their ungodliness. And there needed to be deliverance, and deliverance would come. Deliverance would come, but they'd have to believe God. They would have to trust God. Noah, this man, entered this ark, and we're told that he entered this ark as an answer of a good conscience. In other words, the parallel of baptism today is that we enter that by a good conscience. John the Baptist, before he had baptized, he required fruit, meat for repentance. That is evidence that somebody had repented. They'd already had an experience with God of salvation. They had already repented before he'd baptized them. Read Matthew 3 and Luke chapter 3, both. Read both of those and see what John did. John said, bring forth fruit. So we too, in this day, when we look at baptism and we think about the ark, let's remember, if all I've brought out is one man Noah. I hadn't even talked about the rest of the family. But this one man Noah, we know for sure about him. And so he was one of these who was saved by water. What was he saved by? The ark of salvation. The destructive element was the flood, but Noah was saved by the ark. So our thought today has been the ark of salvation, not the water of salvation. And we hope that you'll prayerfully consider these thoughts, and God would bless you in the considering. If you are blessed or receive anything beneficial out of the message, I hope you'll be careful to thank the Lord for it, because he's the one we look to for our guidance and direction. Thank you again. This is Mike Brauner.
Thanks for joining us for this week's Fisher of Men broadcast. If you'd like additional information or to download a copy of this week's message, go to fisherofmenbaptistic.com. All materials and recordings are provided free of charge and may be distributed as the Lord leads.